Bringing the first word this morning is one of my sons in the gospel and has been on following consistently, following heartily the word of the Lord has given to his father over time, and the effect is here. Join me this morning and welcome Pastor Paul Enetche. Amen. As he brings the word of the Lord. Amen.
Go ahead and let us lift our hands to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the I Am that I Am, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. Go ahead and let us worship the King. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. We give you the adoration. We worship you. Thank you for a day like this. Thank you because you are God. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thy years have no end. Jehovah Mekadesh, the God that was not created, the God that was not selected, the God that was not nominated, the God that was not appointed, and the God whose position is never contested. You are from everlasting to everlasting, ageless, changeless, dieless God. Do in our midst today what you alone can do. To you be all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. And before you take your seat, help me shake the hands of 7 people around you and tell them you are breaking limits. You are breaking limits. You are breaking limits. You are breaking limits. Breaking all limits. If you believe that, give him the shout of praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank my father this morning for giving me the privilege of standing on this exalted pulpit. I appreciate you, sir, for this privilege. I came in contact with our father about 25 years ago as a young medical doctor with my young wife, also a medical doctor in the city of Jos. And the contact has produced an impact that is undeniable. If anybody does not know what followership means, if they see me and see some of us, it will be clear that it pays, that it works, that it is far more rewarding to be a follower than to be a vagabond. Hallelujah. This morning, very, very quickly, I bring the word on contending for the faith of our fathers. Contending for the faith of our fathers. Jude chapter 1 has only one chapter, verse 3. It said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Verse 4. "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name.
Scriptures make it clear that the faith of our fathers, the ancient, primitive faith of our fathers, which was responsible for the results and the exploits of our fathers, today is an endangered species. If you ever know what is called an endangered species in the wildlife, where an animal kind of species is about to go extinct, the Bible says, we should therefore contend. The reason why there is a shortage of Bible results is because there is a scarcity of Bible faith in the world today. The reason why there is a shortage of apostolic results is because there is a scarcity of primitive apostolic faith. Jesus speaking said, as the time of the end approaches towards the coming of the Lord, there will be such a scarcity of faith. In Luke chapter 18 verse 8, he said, nevertheless, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? In other words, the time will be coming where people will believe in all manner of things, and many things will replace the original Bible faith. So he said, for that reason, we must contend for the faith. In the same way that faith will be dropping in the rest of the world, love also. In Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 12, he said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And you know that faith worketh by love, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. So if there is a shortage of love, there is also going to be the shortage of faith in the end of times. Because of that danger to the real faith, the faith of our fathers, the primitive faith, we are enjoined to contend for the faith. Somebody say, I shall contend. The word contend means to struggle to surmount a difficulty. That is struggle. It means to wrestle. It means to wage war. It means to battle. In other words, as we approach the end of the age, there is a need to wage war. There is a need to battle. There is a need to wrestle, because the forces that will be coming against the faith will be so strong. But there is a need to wrestle, and there is a need to wage war in order to defend the faith of our fathers. The songwriter wrote, in the faith of our fathers, he said, faith of our fathers, living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear that glorious word, faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. The third verse said, faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee. And through the truth, we all shall then be truly free. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Question is, what is the faith of our fathers? Number one, it is daring faith, aggressive faith, violent faith. It is the faith that dares. It is the faith that is aggressive. It is the faith that is violent. It is the David order of faith. The kind of faith that David exhibited before Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and in verse 34 all the way to verse 37, where he began to say, your servant kept this like his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. He said, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies
of the living God. Verse 37, it said, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the power of the lion and out of the power of the bear, he would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. That is the faith of our father. Somebody here this morning, I prophesy that that Goliath that came here with you shall be buried before you leave here in the name of Jesus. I trust that there is going to be a baptism of that daring faith, that aggressive faith, that violent faith. Number two, the faith of our fathers referred to, it is risky, radical, carefree, and fear-free faith. Risky faith, radical faith, carefree, fear-free. That was the kind of faith that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego operated. We are not careful to answer you in this matter. The God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will. And if not, let it be known unto you, we shall not bow. Let's enter the fire. It is risky. It is radical. It is carefree. It is fear-free. You are not careful at all. You are not fearful at all. People are afraid for you, but you are not afraid for yourself. Is somebody here today? I call it the faith that is addicted to risk and allergic to fear. There is an addiction to risk. Wherever, whatever is risky, that is what you dare. According to the word, according to the scripture. And you are immune to fear. You are allergic to fear. Somebody here today, every trace of fear that came with you on this ground shall die natural here. You believe that? Shout the loudest amen. Number three. So it is daring faith, aggressive faith, violent faith. Then it is risky faith, radical faith, carefree faith, fear-free faith. And then number three, it is fightful, battle-ready faith. It is faith that is fightful, faith that is battle-ready. Faith like an Agbero kind of faith. You know, the Agbero boy is already waiting for a fight before he arrived. It is faith that is charged, that is ready for all urgencies, equal to every emergency. A faith that cannot be taken unawares. Ay, 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 ay. Is there somebody who is walking from here with that kind of faith? A fightful faith, a battle-ready faith. Faith that does not know how to turn back before a challenge. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 30 said, the lion is the strongest among the beasts, and it turneth not away for any. Ay, 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 ay. That was the kind of faith that made the master Jesus come down from a mountain, and he saw a child that was foaming, a lunatic child. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 to 18, he did not need to return to go back and return back to handle that emergency. He was equal to it on the spot. That was the kind of operation David operated. When he met Goliath, he didn't need to go and recharge to come back. He was equal to that emergency. There are people here on your return back to your location. You are going, the situation waiting shall collapse before you arrive. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number four, what is the faith of our fathers? It is indomitable, unconquerable faith. If you permit me, it is indomitable, indefatigable, unconquerable faith. It is indomitable, indefatigable, unconquerable, irresistible. It is faith that cannot be defeated. It is faith that does not know how to take no for an answer. It is the faith of the Syrophoenician woman. When they said to her, in Matthew chapter 15 verse 26, all the way. All right. He answered not a word. Let's go to verse 26. And then Jesus, but he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, it is true, Lord. I agree that I am a dog. But even dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I am not ready to take no for an answer. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very moment. Somebody here, as you have come here to this mountain, whatever brought you here, your answer is in your hands. Is there somebody here who is not ready to take no for an answer? That is the indomitable faith, the unconquerable faith, the indefatigable faith, the weariless faith. You can't tire it. It's the bulldog faith. I came across the story of a bulldog, a little bulldog, small bulldog, who will move from its compound and come under the fence, cross the road to another compound and go under the fence to engage a bigger dog. The big dog will beat it, push it to the ground, and then the bulldog will get up. Return back to his house. Tomorrow at exactly the same time, he returns back. So that the fight can continue. The big dog will beat it, throw it to the ground, he returns back home. Tomorrow, he returns again. He continued until one day, the big dog was beaten until one day, he returned back and he started coming. And when the big dog saw it, he started running. Hey! Hey! In other words, I can beat you, but I am tired of this fight. I am tired, and I don't know what is pursuing you, what is pushing you to me. Beloved brothers and sisters, you need that tenacity. You need that audacity. And I prophesy to you today, as you return back to where you have come from, your places, that thing you left as a challenge shall bow before you. It shall run before you. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. Finally, what is this faith of our fathers? Number five, it is persevering, persistent, and enduring faith. Faith that perseveres, faith that is persistent, faith that endures. Call it faith that stands firm in the face of fire. Like the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Faith that sees the end of the challenge. The challenge does not see the end of the faith. The faith that sees the end of the problem, that refuses for the problem to see its end, is enduring, is persistent. That was the kind of faith Job exhibited in Job chapter 14, verse 14, when he said, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait. I am here. Devil, whatever you do, I am here. I am just here. I will see your end. You cannot see my end. I don't know the problem that you have come here with today. You will see the end of that affliction. And I join forces with the voice of my father. The problems of this country and those who are behind it, they will not see our end. We shall see their end. We will see their end. They can't see our end. You believe that? Say, Lord, amen. very, very quickly. There are a few examples of those who operated in this kind of the faith of our fathers, this rugged, brutal faith. One was Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, verse 9 to 13. You saw Caleb, how Caleb was talking to Joshua. And he said, Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy foot have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And I am as strong this day as I was 45 years ago. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war. Somebody say for war. Even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. In verse 12, he said, now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. That is rugged. 85-year-old man. And in verse 13, the Bible said, and Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. And Hebron became Caleb's inheritance. Hebron became his inheritance. The meaning of that is, at the age of 85, he engaged giants, whipped them, beat them, checked them out, and took possession of what belonged to him. Beloved, somebody is going to live here. That inheritance that is occupied by giants, you are going to step into that inheritance, and you are going to beat them. That was the faith of Caleb. And then there is a woman called Ruth in scripture who wangled her way from being a Moabite to becoming an Israelite by force. She was Moabite by choice, an Israelite by force. She told Naomi, whether you like it or not, your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Where you die, I shall die. I will not leave you. I am a Moabite, but I have chosen to become an Israelite by the violence of faith. To understand the meaning of this, the Bible said, a Moabite shall not enter the congregation of Israel to their 10th generation. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3. They are not permitted to mix with Israel until their 10th generation. And yet this woman said, I bypassed that protocol. I have enough faith to bypass that protocol. I have enough faith to become who I must be and what I must be. Beloved, if your faith is in place, nothing is against you. Nobody can be against you. Nothing is against you, and nobody can be against you. Very, very quickly, let's look at some key thoughts on the faith of our fathers. Just some things to note. Number one, in God, you get what you demand, not just what you deserve. Both in God and in life. Jesus saw blind Bartimaeus by the highway side begging. Yet he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He wasn't sure whether he was looking for money. In God, in life, you get what you demand, not just what you deserve. You don't sit there and say, I deserve to be married. I deserve to have a child. I deserve to be successful. No. You place a demand, and you back the demand with the force of faith. I know that by now my life is meant to be in so and so place, and no devil can stop me, and I am going to get there. I deal with every ancestral curse, every generational curse, every witchcraft operation. I am getting there. Are you there? Say loud, amen. Secondly, God does not answer assumption. He answers desperation. He does not assume your needs. He must ascertain your needs by your desperation. Jacob wrestled. in desperation. He said, what do you want? He said, I won't let you go until you bless me. Genesis 32 from verse 24 to 28. Desperation is key to your destination. God does not answer to assumption. He answers to desperation. Number three, your level of spiritual aggression determines your level of physical possession. It must be clear from the faith of our fathers that your level of spiritual aggression determines your level of physical possession. For from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. It was our father who told us that you need a lion heart to have a lion share. You cannot have the heart of a chicken and have the share of a lion. If you must have the heart of a lion, the share of a lion, you must have the heart of a lion. High level tolerance equals low level inheritance. If you have a high level of tolerance, tolerance for evil, tolerance for the devil, tolerance for stagnation, tolerance for calamity, you will have a very low level of inheritance. I went to Kenya some years ago, and in the wildlife park, we were passing. And the tour guide told us, he said, once every 3 or 5 hours, the lion will come out and just roar. Wah! And I asked the man, I said, why is the lion roaring every 3 or 5 hours? And he said the roar will go to 5 to 8 kilometers radius. And I said, what is the reason? Did anybody look for his trouble? He said, no. Why is he roaring? He said, it is normal territorial maintenance. It is just for the maintenance of territory. For every hyena and every bingo and every dingo to be aware that the king is somewhere here. Is there anybody who is going to charge and take charge of your territory? Give the Lord a loud shout of praise. You need spiritual aggression for spiritual possession. Number four, your kind of faith determines your kind of result. Again, our father has told us many times, no faith equals no result. Little faith equals little result. Great faith equals great result. And if you permit me, daring faith equals drastic result. When the faith is daring, the result is drastic. When the faith is daring, the result is drastic. That is what somebody is living here with today. And finally, from the faith of our fathers, we understand that there is a connection between your venture and your future. It takes the venture of faith to have a future on the earth. There is a connection between your venture and your future. The bolder your venture, the surer your future. The bolder your venture, the surer your future. Very quickly, for the sake of time, what are the effects of the faith of our fathers? What outcome do they produce? If you read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 to 35, there is a chronicle there of the effect. He said, and what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell you of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. They wax valiant in fight and turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Number one effect is victory over the adversary in battle. Victory over enemy forces in battle. David moved in such a faith. He fought 66 battles and lost none. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Caleb fought with the Anakims. He beat them and cleared them from his land.
in Joshua 14 and in verse 14. It is victory over the adversary in battle. Number two is the breaking of limitations and embargoes. Breaking limitations and embargoes. It is crossing barriers and limits. That was the faith that brought the wall of Jericho down. That was the faith that created a highway in the Red Sea. It is breaking. It is breaking limitations and embargoes, crossing barriers and limits. Number three, it is territorial takeover and control. The faith of our fathers made them to take over territories. It made them to take over territories. Whatever be your own territory, whatever be your own domain, it can be taken over by the faith of our father. Joshua and Caleb took their territories by the faith of our father, of our fathers. And Caleb took his territory. You know, the place that the Glory Dome is sitting on the airport road, many, many years ago, over 10 years ago, I saw in a revelation in the night vision, the location where that place should be. In the physical, we try to look around to get a place. Oh, people say, oh no, you can't get any land like that on that kind of place in Abuja on the airport road. You can't get such a land. There is no such land available anymore. We went far out of town, and we went and got 700 acres somewhere, another one, almost 1,000 acres. And the Lord said to me, remember where I showed you. So I called one man in our church. He's a property agent. And I told him, kneel down here. It is your work to locate properties. And I poured the oil on his head. I said, now receive the anointing to go and locate the place. I gave him the description of where it is. Where I saw. He went there. Under 1 week, he returned back. And he said, I have found the place. And we went to that place. I said, this is the place. This is where I saw the landmark. I saw it in Revelation. You say you take territories by the daring, aggressive faith. I speak to somebody here. Everything that is your domain and your territory that is here to enter your hands, I declare it is released into your hands. Number four, it is rewriting history. The faith of our fathers rewrites history and shapes destinies. That is altering the course of nature. That was what happened to the girl called Ruth. She changed the course of history. She wrote history and shaped her destiny. She would have died as a Moabite, but she went good her way. Not just become an Israelite, but became one of the great grandmothers of Jesus Christ. She married Obed, who gave birth to Jesse, who gave birth to David, who is the great-grandfather of Jesus. Her name appeared on the lineage by the force of faith. You can rewrite history. You can shape your destiny. That happened to Jacob. He was number two that became number one. Second born that became firstborn by force. Finally, fulfilling divine plan. Fulfilling divine plan and purpose for our lives is the number fifth thing that the faith of our fathers will do. For you to be able to reach where God wants you to reach, there are forces that don't want you to get there. And it takes the daring faith of our fathers, the type that Noah moved by in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, where the Bible says Noah moved by faith. He moved, being warned of God, of things not just, he moved with fear, prepared the ark. He fulfilled destiny and divine plan because of the faith of our fathers. Very quickly, what is the secret of the faith of our fathers? What are the secrets? Number one, a heart for God. When people are sold out to God, they can dare anything. They can dare anything. We are not careful to answer you. We are too connected to be afraid. Too connected to be affrighted. We are too. Daniel, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of my God? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26. What shall be done to the man that killeth this uncircumcised Philistine? I am sold out to God. Who should defy the armies of the living God and take the reproach away from Israel? Tell me, when you are sold out to God, when you have a heart for God, you can dare any man, woman, devil, demon, human. That is some human beings that look like demons.
A heart for God. Number two is the voice of God. Once they have heard God, they can dare anything. When our father heard, this is the place. Oh man, I mean, if you don't believe it, that is yours. If God said this is the place, he said, I better sink with God than shine without him. If this is the place, this must be the place. And this is the place. Is it not the place? The whole world is tied to this same place by hearing the voice of God. A heart for God, the voice of God. Number three, the light of the word. The light of the word. When Peter toiled all night, he caught nothing. In Luke chapter 5, verse 4-5, he says, nevertheless, at thy word, the light of the word is the fire of faith. When the light comes from the word, it fires your faith. At thy word. Number four is the wine of the Spirit. The wine of the Spirit. Concerning Judah, he said, his eyes shall be red with wine. Red with wine. His teeth white with milk. When the wine of the Spirit is upon you, like our father said, it will wine you like an engine. Is God speaking to somebody here? In Jude verse 20 said, building yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, he hasn't given us the spirit of timidity, but the spirit of audacity. When you transact in the spirit, you move with authority. You move with audacity. The wine of the spirit, it charges your faith and turns you rugged and violent. Number five is time with the master. The time of communion, the time of waiting, the time of relationship. Acts chapter 4 verse 13, when they beheld the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with the master. When you hang around the master, association brings you assimilation. There is something that enters you. He doesn't know doubt, you cannot know doubt. Number six is following the faith of those who have it. Following the faith of those who have it. That you be not slothful, but be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7. It said that we should follow the faith. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. We have a massive faith here to follow. And around the world, ensure that you are connected to those who have that ancient primitive faith and follow. And number seven is righteous living. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. They are audacious as a lion. Is there somebody here who has received that faith of our fathers this morning? Stand on your feet with a loud shout. A loud shout of victory. A louder shout of victory. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy a release of violent faith, aggressive faith, brutal faith, the same faith of our fathers. I declare its release upon you now in Jesus' name. Shake three hands around you and tell them congratulations for your new level. Congratulations for your new level.